Just so honored to be here today. Mama kezi guzem vor asem urakh malerur yev tun amenen avor mamales inzi hamar. Thank you. I wanted to say Happy Mother's Day to my mom because in Armenian, that's the only language I speak to her unless there are people around. But she's in the hospital today. She's doing better. But praise the Lord that the Lord has her exactly where she needed to be this morning. But we just honor our mom because she has been such an influence on our lives. And the message I have today is from generation to generation because I feel like there's so much about mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers that I was searching the scriptures for the last few days, and I found such powerful men of God that the Lord had chosen, and it mentioned their mothers, their grandmothers, or some of them their mother and grandmother, and one, his great-grandmother was influential in his life. But before I start, because I have the microphone today, I'm not going to pick on Terry, but I'm going to tell a wonderful story about Jennifer and Benjamin, because they can't stop me right now. And so one of my favorites is, I had written a song for my mom and dad for their 40th anniversary, and Jennifer and Benjamin had learned it with me, and we were going to sing it, and we sang it at the anniversary party. But then my dad had invited us, and Terry and I and Jennifer and Benjamin went to a meeting in Texarkana, and Dad was preaching that day, and he wanted us to sing that song. So we came up. They only gave me one microphone. And so Jennifer was on my right and Benjamin on my left, and we were standing there. And the other day, as I was telling my mom was in the service, and she said, I wish somebody had videotaped that. Because only the ones that really knew me or us knew what was going on up there. People didn't realize. And when we started singing, Jennifer reached for the microphone as well, and Benjamin reached for the microphone. So during this song, which said, forever we will serve you, forever we will love you, Lord, like our parents taught us, and we will love and serve you, they were pulling the microphone towards themselves. And I was trying to hold it in the middle. And I mean, they were strong, both of them, because they were like maybe not very young. They were about maybe 7 and 9 at the time, or 7 and 8. And so try singing and smiling at people, and they were looking back, and I am trying to hold this mic, and they are trying, and no one, I mean, my dad knew, my mom knew that they were trying to pull this mic towards them, their own mouth. And I know God is using them today with the microphone. They're both using the microphone. But at that moment, I was the mom, and I was determined to keep the microphone in the middle. And I thought, what a picture. As a mom, you are just in the middle of things, and you're holding it together, and you're trying to bring peace between everyone, and you are the one that has been the one that they will blame for things, even though you probably have nothing to do with the situation. But the minute you say something, they all turn around, and you're the one that get it. And this morning, I just wanted to bring that beautiful memory in my head to you, and I hope that you can just imagine it. But afterwards, when we went down, I was just so ready to take them outside and have a word with them. But then Dad was about to preach, so it was forgotten, and of course we laughed about it later. But yes, this morning I am going to start in Psalms 145, verses 4 and 5. And it says, one generation shall praise your works to another, shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will declare your works, your wondrous works. And so the generations, when I look back, when Jennifer was born and my dad and mom had just flown in and Terry's parents had come, when we placed Jennifer in my dad's arms, he started crying. And I was like, Dad, why are you crying? And he said, because I didn't have a grandmother. I didn't have a grandfather. Because in the Armenian genocide, they lost their great-grandparents. And my grandparents grew up as orphans. But because of that, my grandparents loved us so much. And when we were younger, we didn't understand this. Because they were such just hovering all the time around us and loving us. But wanted, they were so afraid for our lives. I remember standing at a balcony, just one story high at my grandparents' house, just standing there, and they would say, "Don't go too far, don't lean over," because they were so afraid over our lives, because they didn't have parents, and they had grown up with such memories of just what happened. And I am thankful that I am here, because it really, if the Lord didn't spare their lives, I would not be here today. So in 1915, yes, 1.5 million Armenians were killed, but many now, millions, are in the 5 continents of the world. Everywhere they have been, they have gone, they have told our story, and many of us are praising the Lord that He has spared our lives, and now we are here, or spared our grandparents' lives. So grandparents, great-grandparents are so important, just as mothers. We are a generation that is continuing. There's a link that goes together. We are all connected. And so one of my precious, precious grandmothers, my mom's mom was very precious. My dad's mom, she was about 6 or 7. She doesn't remember how old she was exactly when her mom was killed. And her grandmother. She said, "I called my grandmother Mama, but I called my mom Nana." So there was something about that, that she was very close to them. But in the orphanage, even though she was the granddaughter of a priest, in the orphanage she found the Lord. And she would tell us the story that she had her Bible that they gave her in the orphanage, and it was red, and she kept it on her heart every night when she went to bed. She loved God's word so much that she wanted to fall asleep with it, wake up with it. And when Hava heard that story, she was telling me, she said, "Miss Mama, she should have tied it because it would fall off in the night." And I said, "Well, I don't know if she did, but whatever happened to it, you know, your grandchildren literally listen to the stories you tell." And when my grandmother was 96 years old, she still read, but her eyes were getting dim. So my brother Paul made such a big, the Bible, but just the New Testament, printed it out for her with big, big letters so she could still read God's word. She wanted to read it herself at 96 years old. But I have a precious video, and I hope Benjamin sent it in so that they could play it, of Hava. And this just happened yesterday, because our generations, we are passing on to our children, our grandchildren, what has come to us from our grandparents.
Green beans and sweet peas, and this one's a giant. And look, this one's a teeny weeny one, but it's too enormous.
Oh my goodness,
who grew
these?
This one's sweet peas.
Who grew these?
Me and Mama, I think.
That's so cool.
This one's a sweet bean, and it's really small, it's capping, but the inside it's big. And then this one's a sweet pea, and this one's a green bean, and it has
them both, and they're fresh from your garden. Did you come walking to Mitz Mama's house through the forest? Were there any wolves? The
no,
red riding
just a
red
few deer.
Oh.
And maybe just a triangle.
That's your imagination, Havala.
Oh,
Hava, that's so nice.
And a few squirrels and a toad and two, and a father bear and a little baby bear came too.
Oh, they did. But the best is you came.
Mm. And the flower came.
I love
a
you.
Flower. Did you ever notice that?
I never noticed that. You know what? Really, I never noticed the flower. That's so sweet.
I know. Only it's probably cute for us grandparents, but I wanted to share that you know, our grandchildren are just so precious, and the Lord has blessed us with seven of them. One is in heaven, and the others, and we are trying to pour into them, not as much time we have with them as we did with our own children, but we're trying to pour into them the most important thing, and that is God's word. And then everything else is just so precious and wonderful. And so I want to start with someone that has been such a blessing to me in this last year. And I know that when we were growing up, we heard God's word so many times that these people became like, I thought they were part of our family. We heard about David. We heard about Joseph. We heard about Samuel. These were names that were brought up so often that I thought they must be our relatives. And so David has been one of those that have studied and searched about him this year. And as I was traveling, it became one of those messages that I wanted to take to people. If you have read the book of Psalms, you have read David's book. And half the Psalms were written by David. That's how important he is in the Word of God. But there are things in the Word of God about David that I would ask the Lord and ask him why. Why would he do that? And things that I didn't like about him. But God said in the Word, he was a man after God's own heart. David's mom, we don't know her name, but we know her great-grandmother's name. Great-great-grandmother, and that is Ruth. A whole book was given to her. And when I was studying Ruth's life, I thought, wow, what kind of a grandmother she must have been. Because it says when she had Obed, her child, Naomi took care of Obed. We say Naomi in Armenian. Okay. Naomi was Ruth's mother-in-law. But she's the one that took care of this baby because she was in the house and Obed was born. And then Obed had Jesse. Jesse had David. And when we look, because in the old times they did live longer, and I know that Ruth must have been influential in David's life, because when you go to the book of Matthew, you will read about David and you will read about Ruth that is mentioned in Matthew, which was very interesting to me, because in the first chapter of Matthew, when we go, it is talking about Ruth being a Moabitess, having Obed, and then Obed having Jesse, and Jesse having King David, and then it is in the generation of Lord Jesus Christ. And that was incredible, because they are mentioned over and over in the connection together. So there must be something about great-grandmothers, great-great-great-grandmothers, and grandmothers that are pouring in. When we were growing up, they were so much part of our lives, that they were always there, every Sunday, both grandparents, not just one side, but both grandparents. We were so blessed to have that. And so when I was reading about David and Ruth, I thought, what would stand out about Ruth if we would pick out one or two things? And when we go to the book of Ruth, here she is. And I've heard this many times at weddings. They will bring up her words. She probably never thought that one day, many times at weddings, they're using it as vows for each other. But she said this to her mother-in-law. She said in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you." And she's leaving her mother and father. She's leaving her country. She's leaving everything behind because she feels like Naomi has something she wants and she doesn't want to let go of her. And she said, "For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. And where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried." And what was incredible, this time when in April we were in Bethlehem, where David is from, so is Ruth And her husband, Boaz was from Bethlehem, and that is where she was going. And when we were in Bethlehem for the first time, I noticed so many restaurants and shops said, Boaz and Ruth, Boaz and Ruth. And I was like, I had never seen that before. They still have her name on shops and different things in Bethlehem when you go. Of course, go when it's safe to go. But Ruth's one of those things that she said tells you of her heart. When she clung to Naomi, when she clung to the Lord God of Naomi, she wanted to follow Naomi wherever Naomi would go. And then at the end of Ruth, the book of Ruth, chapter 4, I believe, and it says in verse 20, and here we read again about Ruth, and this is at the end. It said, Salmon begot Boaz, Boaz begot Obed, Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. So this is ending with the, before David was born, this is written so that we can see the connection. It's always a connection. And so Boaz was born of Salmon, and we know that Salmon was the husband of Rahab, which was another person that didn't belong to the children of Israel, but she got to know the Lord God, and the Lord brought them in, accepted them. That is how great our God is. He accepts us. It doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter what race, what person, what family, what wherever you come from. Once you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He accepts you. And through His blood, God says, you are mine now. And what an amazing generation we belong to. And that is what Ruth's life. And then we come to David. Who was David? David was a son born of the youngest of seven brothers, and then he was born. And we know he was neglected because this point has really been etched in my heart, because Samuel was coming to anoint a king. God told him, Samuel, enough crying about Saul. I want you to go find the man that I have chosen. He's a man after my own heart. And when you see that in Acts, it was really interesting that even in the Old Testament, it would tell you what God was saying, because Paul the Apostle was preaching this part, and he was preaching to a lot of Gentiles and Jews, but he said in chapter 13 and verse 22 of Acts, and I think we have it, and let's read it. And when he had removed him, he raised up, and that's talking about Saul, and Paul said, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony. The Lord gave testimony about David. Imagine the Lord talking about you or me. I was like, Lord, what would that mean when you say you are after my own heart? And that is what God said about David. He gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. He will obey me. Saul had disobeyed, so God removed Saul and chose David. But when they chose David, Samuel came to the house of Jesse. Guess what? They all knew a prophet is coming to their house. Didn't invite David. You're not important. Go take care of the sheep. But they didn't know that that's where David was being trained to be the king of Israel, with the sheep. And that's where he was singing a lot of his psalms. And we know one of the psalms that's so familiar, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Because he knew what it was like to be a shepherd. But he's with the sheep. So Samuel comes, he's a prophet. The Lord doesn't tell him who it is. Sometimes Prophets think they know everything, and they know because they know God's word, and they know that the Lord is showing them things, but sometimes the Lord teaches prophets things too. And this is where Samuel needs to learn the biggest lesson, I believe, in his life. Because the first one's son came, and he said, this must be the one. The second one came, oh, this must be the one. And the Lord said, hey, Samuel, you're looking on the outside. God doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the heart. Samuel, who loved the Lord God so much, he was a prophet. The Lord didn't show him. He had to go through the seven of them, and the Lord kept saying, no, 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 no. And then he probably was like, okay, God, did I miss it? And then God said to him, there's someone else. So he told Jesse, do you have any more sons? And he said, oh, yeah, we have one. But he's, you know, he's not even important to be invited here. And so they go call him. And he comes in. And in front of his brothers, Samuel pours the oil, anoints him. But then he had to wait, of course, until he became king. But as much as you have studied David, and probably many things he did that were wrong, because we know a lot of the stories, and I'm not going to go into that because I'm not good with time, and I'm not going to keep you here very long, I promise you. But we're just going to skip all the things he did wrong. But what did he do right? I believe one of the things was he obeyed the Lord. When the Lord, at one time he even asked the Lord, should I go? And then it says, and David inquired again, shall I go? Inquired again of the Lord. He wanted to be sure God was saying, yes, go, David. Go fight. Go do this. Go do that. He was always running to the Lord. And I believe one of the things, it was he was obedient, and also he was very humbled when he did wrong. He quickly went to ask forgiveness. He didn't say, well, like Saul, I did that because. And sometimes we do that in our own lives. The Lord wants you to just go and say, forgive me, Lord, I was wrong. Forgive me, Lord, I was wrong. And sometimes I do that with Terry. I'll say, I'm sorry I did that, but I need to tell you why I did that. And I'm trying to explain, and we do that because we want to explain. But God was looking at David's heart. When Nathan came to him and he said, you are the one that has sinned. He said, yes, I was wrong. And we read chapter 51 of Psalms where he said, have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. And so we ask for God's forgiveness, but you need to come and say, I was wrong, and ask for his forgiveness. And David did that. Those are just things that I would try to find, but we don't know. But one thing we know, God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. Yes, we get ready, we make ourselves look nice or whatever. And I have a verse in my right in front of my mirror, and my verse that my grandfather wrote many years ago, it says, looking unto Jesus. Because the more you look at yourself, the more you're trying to change things in the mirror. The more you know, whatever. But looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that's where we need to keep our eyes on. And David has been a blessing to me. And then there's another king that I'm going to bring up. And I didn't know this mother's name, but I read it. Because Benjamin has been talking about kings and prophets. And I told him, I said, hey, I've got a good message for Mother's Day about a king. Because I was thinking, I'm just going to talk about this one king. But then I thought, it's Mother's Day. Who wants to hear only about kings? But then I had this one king that when Benjamin and Jennifer were younger, of course, I'm going to tell another story. Jennifer will talk to me about this later, but it's okay. But we read the Word of God ever since they were little. Even when Jennifer was 1 month old, someone had given us a Bible, a Precious Moments Bible, for one of the showers. And so I started reading to her, holding Jennifer, 1 month old, because my mom told me on the phone, you read to her. You read the word to her. So I would read one verse a day, and I would mark it. You see it. I've marked our Bible from Genesis. When we were still in Genesis, 17 months later, Benjamin arrived. So I had Jennifer sit next to me, holding Benjamin. We continued. We finished the Bible together when they were 15 and 16 years old. Jennifer was last year in high school, and that was, yes, that was God, because every morning we would sit on the sofa, and then you see them marking it, them putting the dates. And when we were flooded, we came upstairs to Kids Zone with all our important things that I was picking up from around the house, and Benjamin arrived with the Bible. He said, Mom, you didn't pick this up. And I don't know how I'd forgotten it, but it made such a beautiful picture that for my son, that was so important. And we still have that Bible, and the grandchildren, we read it together sometimes and mark it, but it is marked all over with dates, where we've been. We used to carry it around the world with us, with five other suitcases. Every time I look at Terry, I have memories of us traveling with so many suitcases. He would say, did you bring the kitchen sink? But, you know, I don't travel that many things anymore. But anyways, those were memories that come up. But that Bible became so precious. But we put in God's word. And when he was preaching on the Kings the other day, I remembered one morning. He came and sat down. He must have been about 10. We were in the Kings. Because I would stop places and go to the New Testament, read the life of Jesus, then come back. When we got to Job, I was like, how are we going to go through this? It was so depressing in the mornings to read to them from the book of Job. But we did go back and forth, back and forth. I remember him distinctly that morning. He sat down and he said, let's see, Mom, if this king was right in the eyes of the Lord or he was evil in the sight of the Lord. And I thought, he's listening. He's listening. And that was incredible. But this king, Jehoshaphat, which I just love him because there's some things that he said or he did that I have used so many times in my life, was the son of Azuba. That was his mom's name. It's mentioned. What's amazing, it will tell you the king died, and now his son is going to reign, and this son is going to have, is how old he was. And then it would say, and his mother's name is. Very important. There was one mother that I don't remember right now, but it said, his mother was his counselor in the wicked ways. Imagine, because we as mothers, as grandmothers, as great-grandmothers, we give counsel to our children. Sometimes they act like they're not listening, but they are. Because later on they'll come when they're older and say, Mom, when you did this, or when you told me this, I was listening. And that's when you turn to the Lord and you say, thank you, Lord. Every now and then it gives you a little bit of a reward. But we're not to be rewarded by people. We're waiting for one day when God sees our hearts. Whatever you're doing, there are people in this life that I've come across, airports, people just pass them and they're cleaning after us. They are in the bathrooms and they are in the corners of a airport that you're just passing and no one sees them. Because sometimes I sit there and I watch people. I love watching people. And I watch you too. If they put me up on the platform on Sundays, I will watch your faces. Because I love doing that. And sometimes I go to them and I touch their shoulders and I say, you know what? We might not say thank you, but God sees what you're doing. He's going to reward you. And then that moment, I'm reminded. Yeah, let's give the Lord glory for that, because we are reminded that God sees our hearts. We are reminded that those times where you think they should say thank you, they might not say anything. Or just go, that was pretty. Or thank you, in a way that you were expecting something different. But you know what? God sees our hearts, and He will reward us. So pat yourselves and say, the Lord sees you. The Lord sees your heart. Men and women. I'm not just talking to the women, but I'm talking to the men too. But Jehoshaphat has been such a blessing to me, because when you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, this is a king that did right in the eyes of the Lord. And when we read this part, when he became king, yes, and his father's name was Asa, but his mother's name was Azuba. But when we go to chapter 20 and verse 12, he is now, there is a big host of enemy coming against him, and he is afraid. What does he do? He runs to the house of the Lord. He pours himself, his heart, and he gets down on his knees and he's crying out to the Lord. And I love this verse because I have used it so many times this year when I have stood at places, I do not know what to do, Lord. And he said, oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And I just love that. He must have learned that, yes, from his father Asa and his mother Azuba. Learn that name. Don't use it, but learn it. I don't know. You might think it's beautiful, but it was his mom, and I'm sure she was a beautiful woman. But that was Jehoshaphat. And the third person that I want to go to is Timothy. And I have a hard time saying TH. My friends know that. But I'm just going to call him Timotheos. Is that okay? Because that's how you say it in Hebrew and Armenian too. We say Timotheos for Timothy. And Timotheos was the faith son to Paul the Apostle. And it's incredible how he starts his letter in the second Timothy. And when we read that of, let's go there, in verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timotheos, a beloved son. And Timotheos, I found out, meant honored one. And one of the commentaries I was reading, it said his mom probably named him that because that was the way in Greek they would say it, but it meant honored one in Hebrew. And when you read his life, his mom and his grandmother were Hebrew, but his father was Greek. But when we read about him, it said, you are to beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. Paul the Apostle, thinking of him in prison, Paul is writing to Timothy and he's praying for him night and day. Not praying for himself. I'm sure there were times he was crying out to the Lord for his pain. But at the same time, he was praying for Timothy. He loved him so much. And he said, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Here is Paul the Apostle reminding Timothy, you need to remember where your faith came from. Before you, the generations before you, I wish I knew my grandmother, my great-grandmother, who was 37 years old and had 7 children when they beheaded her with an axe. My grandfather saw that. And I used to say, oh, Lord, please don't take my life when my kids are young. Because he would always put fear in my heart. But she must have been an incredible woman not to deny Christ. So today I stand because of the generations, and we take up the torch. We take it up and we pass it on because they are coming behind us, our children, our grandchildren. And if the Lord helps us to see our great-grandchildren, but I'm praying for the Lord to come back. I think my grandchildren are wonderful and they are almost 11. The two older ones are 11. And I'm saying, come, Lord Jesus. I don't want to face the teenage years again with the grandchildren. But you know, one is sitting right there. And I know that when I said that to our children one time, four of them, Benjamin, Alyssa, and Jennifer, and Kirby, and they were like, but why, Mom? They're going to be world changers. I said, come, Lord Jesus, come. So, yes, they will be world changers as long as we are here. But I'm waiting for the day the Lord is coming back. I'm watching the clouds. This morning, the clouds were so beautiful. And I said, Lord, you promised, just like he went up, he's coming back, and he will keep his promises. He's faithful to keep his promises. And so today, yes, we need to watch the clouds. And today, I made, Kirby helped me to make these bookmarks, and these were for everybody. Usually, I would say Happy Mother's Day, but I thought, no, I want to keep it, this is the day, because I want you, every time you see this, I want you in the mornings to say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice because we have the Lord. We know the Lord. I will rejoice in this day. And then the second verse I wanted, and this is going to be for everyone, but especially for mothers and grandmothers, and if we have any great grandmothers here, that says, Jesus said, come unto me. How many times have you been so weary, so tired, so burdened that you say, Lord, how much longer? How much longer will I pray for this? Or how much longer will I wait for this answer? And the Lord said, come unto me. Bring it to me. I will carry it. And I will give you rest. He will give us rest. And then this last verse is a gift this morning from the Father God to you. The best gift you can get Mother's Day is to know, for God so loved you, each one of you. And when you know Him, you know what a gift that is. That you know God, and He gave Jesus, His beloved Son, He gave Him for you. And today I want to finish with that. I want to remind you that because He gave Jesus, now you have a choice to make. Because if you believe that He gave Jesus, who is resurrected from the dead today, He is alive, He is here, He's reaching out His hands to you and saying, come unto me. Come unto me. You've been looking, you've been searching, and if you have never, ever given your heart to the Lord to say, okay, Lord, I'm coming. Today, I believe you. Today, I will receive you, because He says, then you will not perish, but have everlasting life. The generations will continue forever and ever and ever in Christ. And so this morning, as we close our eyes and we finish and we pray, I want you to search your hearts. If you've never, ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do something I do with the children when I'm talking to them in the chapel back there or around the world, and I say, let me see your hand. I'm not going to call you up here, but I want to see your hand. If there's anyone, if there's only one person here, I want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you right now before I pray for everyone. And if there is a hand, I want to see your hand and say, pray for me. I have never received Jesus Christ as my Lord, and I want to receive Him right now where you're sitting. And this will be your best Mother's Day gift. It will be everlasting life from the Lord. Is there anyone? Okay, the Lord knows the hearts. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that this is the day you have made. We thank you, Lord, that you are here. We thank you, Lord, that there are hearts here that you see deep down into their hearts. You hear their cries. Thank you, Lord. When no one hears them, no one hears us, you hear us when we cry out to you, because you said, cry out to me in the day of trouble. Cry out to me and I will deliver you and you will glorify me. Thank you, Lord. You hear our voices. And right now, Lord, if there's one person or two people or three people that are opening their hearts to you, Lord, come and show yourself mighty. You are mighty, God, Lord. When we don't know what to do, our eyes are on you, Lord. Our eyes are on you. And so we thank you for today. Bless every mother. Bless every grandmother, bless every great grandmother that is represented here or those that are watching, Lord, that they will know they are such treasures to you. Your eyes are on them, you're the rewarder, and that, Lord, you're the one that we can come to you when we are weary and burdened and heavy burdened. And Lord, you said you will give us rest. And this morning, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we bring you the praise offerings this morning, and we say you are God in this place. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.